Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Susan George. She's a much-loved TV and film actress, having worked with everyone from Dustin Hoffman and Peter Fonda to Roger Moore and Tony Curtis. She was married to fellow actor Simon McCorkindale, who sadly lost his battle with cancer in 2010. Susan launched a charity in his name called Lasting Life, which supports those living with or affected by cancer. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. I'd like to do what you do. I think it's a lovely thing, just being able to present music. And when I say just, it's not a just by any means. I didn't mean to in any way.
No, don't worry.
But it's lovely. I was just thinking, I'm looking at you with your headphones on and I think, well, it's really nice. That'd be a nice thing to do, I think.
Anyway. It is nice. I do enjoy what I do, but I get to speak to people like you, which is also really nice. And I want to start by saying I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, 28 years you were together, weren't you? That's a long time.
Yeah. It is a long time and a very precious time. And, you know, but I always think that the most important thing is that I got to spend that time. You know, some people go through a lifetime without finding the kind of love that Simon and I had and that he had for me and I had for him, which is so important. And I think that's all I think about. I can't be sad or angry. It's just we had that time. And I think that's very special. And I'm very privileged. I feel privileged to have had it, to have had that time with him. And I always will.
Yeah,
I miss him. I miss him every single day of my life. There's not a day, there really isn't a day, probably an hour that goes by that I don't think of him. And that's just the way it is. We were an incredible force together as a team, as a couple, as friends, as lovers. It was just a very special, special partnership for 28 years. And as I say, and when something happens to you like that, like for anybody, you know, it's as if a limb's been cut off. It's as if you've lost a part of you. And I will always have lost a part of me. I've got a great majority of me back, which is super. I can honestly say it took 7 years. I can honestly say all of 7 years before I actually got my spirit back that I feel I became me again. Yeah. And you know what? Do you know how that happened? I did a series on television called The Real Marigold Hotel. I went off to India for a month to something I so out of my comfort zone and I never thought I would take or do in a million years, but I did. And the experience was fabulous in so many ways. I mean, it was a lifetime experience, one I will never, ever, ever forget. But it was tough at the time because it was a big decision to make. I still don't know why I made it, because I was so clear about it. Yes, when my agent asked me, the BBC had asked if I would do it, and I just, without a thought, said yes. And I think that was the turning point for me. I then went away and made that series. There were elements of it that were tough, where we were and what we did, but most of it, as I say, was the most joyous life experience. And when I came back, I couldn't possibly say that when I came back, it was like a light bulb moment. It certainly wasn't. It was a long time afterwards. When I came home from Marigold, I was very tired, very, very tired for a month on camera and nothing but, you know, microphones on first thing in the morning and up until very late at night. So I was very tired when I came home, but it would have been probably another year, maybe year and a half, that the thing that was different for me was that I began to smile and I began to laugh and I could feel laughter. For the first time, I don't know when it happened, but I realized that I hadn't felt laughter. You know, I'd laughed in those 7 years. I'd laughed. I'd continued. I hope I'd maintained all of our dreams and kept things going in just the way he would have wanted. But I didn't really feel the laughter. And then I did feel the laughter. Sorry, that's my watch. That's my watch ringing.
Worry.
It's the ring phone. I'm so sorry.
It's the ring phone.
I've got all around the property because to watch over the horses, you know. So every time something happens on the property, ring goes off
on
my phone.
Is everything okay?
Yes, it is, but should have taken it off. I'll take it off now. I'll take it off, put it somewhere different. No, let me just put it out of our earshot.
No
you
worries.
Talk, because I've just spoken too much.
No worries. No, you haven't spoken too much at all. Yes, I mean, grief is a very difficult thing to explain and to experience. You know, I haven't lost a partner, but I have lost my mum, and that was incredibly difficult. And I spoke to someone recently who'd lost their parents and their partner, and they said, losing your partner is very, very, very different. And, you know, once you experience grief, you think, oh, I've done this before. I know how this works. And then it hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're like, no, I've never done this before. I'm not prepared for this at all. And you can't prepare yourself, can you? You really can't. You don't know what's going to happen day to day.
No, you're so right. You cannot possibly prepare. Of course, I had lost loved ones before. I'd lost my mum. I'd lost my dad. I'd lost my sister. I'd lost everybody. My family I had lost. And now it's my phone making the dinging now. Something and another. I'm so sorry.
Don't
I just
worry.
Shut
I couldn't actually
off.
Hear that. You're fine.
This is my busy life. I'm very sorry. I had lost many people before. And it is something different. It's different every time. Of course it is. But your partner, somebody, as I say, that was truly my right arm. And I don't think you ever are able to prepare yourself for it, and you will always treat it in a different way, and everybody will react in a different way. I'm sure it feels so differently for everybody. I remember a lot of things were said to me right after I had lost Simon, and it sort of made me very aware of some of the things that I will try not to say to somebody else. And people do it all the time. I know how you feel. No, you don't. You don't know how I feel. You want to say that, you know, but it's somebody being loving and kind. Yeah. I know how you feel, but you don't. Nobody knows how that individual feels. Nobody knows the pain and the anguish. Really, and that's the price you pay. It's the price you pay for loving. And it's, you know, it's a very important, it's a very special price. And you would never want to love that much, not to have that love, to not lose it, you know?
Yeah.
The most incredible thing is to have that love, as I said to you in the first place. But it is and grief, I've talked about grief to a lot of people. A lot of people write to me about grief on my Instagram and say that I help in a way, which, oh my God, I hope I do. I really hope I do. Just by storytelling and by showing that I am still able to do and be and laugh and live, you know, my life, which is that's the thing you have to get across to people. And I think that people, a lot of my lovely followers, and I seem to have really genuine, genuine followers, a lot of them, but they're genuine. And they invest in me and my feelings. And I hope to give back all the time. That's what I want to do. And if I can help somebody, you know, walk that bridge, I would always be happy to do that, to just, you know, meet someone on the bridge and say, this is where you go from here to the best of my ability. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very much so. Another thing that people say, which in one way it's true, but in another way, I think it really isn't, when people say it gets easier.
Oh,
And
I
you
know.
Kind of think,
it's time. With time, that's what everyone says. It gets easier with time. The thing is, for me, anyway, personally, I can only say I didn't want time. I didn't want time to make it. I didn't want it to be a space and time. I wanted it to be like yesterday. I always want it to be like yesterday. I don't want it to be years and years and years. That's the incredible thing. And they do say, everyone says that it does change. It changes dramatically. And I think, you know, we all evolve in a way. As I say, I have got my spirit back. I'm the same person, but I'm a different person because I've had to be very, very strong. And I was never strong about losing people. So I've had to learn to be strong. And lots of things in my life I've had to learn. I had to learn you know, Simon always handled all our finances. He always handled a million things. You know, he made my life so brilliant and so smooth because yeah. I got the best bits, you know. I always got the best bits and he dealt with the tough things, it seems. And then all of a sudden, I had to deal with every tough thing. And that's when it really hits you. Mm. And I just, you know, I speak to him all the time. Hmm. I always ask him what I should do. What do I do? What do I do about this, Simon? What do I do next? I do. I really do.
Oh, well done. And tell us about this charity. It must be one. I mean, obviously, again, like you said, you don't want time. It would be nice to not have set up a charity in his name and still have him here. But to do something like this, to help other people in his name is really lovely.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, it means a great deal to me, Lasting Life. I can't tell you. It really does. In a few years afterwards, I couldn't obviously make this decision immediately. The first decision I made after losing Simon was just to maintain my life, keep it going, keep everything going, keep the horses going, the farm going, the dreams and plans we'd made, keep them all going. That's all I could think about. But then a few years afterwards, all I could think about was, if he were here now, what would he want? What would he want me to be doing? Outside a million things I know he'd want me to be doing. But the most important would be to be giving back to people, to be helping people who had been through anything like we had been through for the five-year battle that he had and that we thought we were going to come out the other side of on top. And we searched for answers that never came. And unfortunately, that was our journey. It's not for everybody's. There's lots of people who make that journey and get the other side, and that's wonderful. But all I could think about was what can I do that he would be proud of? And I know that he would love to see others not suffer in the way that we did. And if we could help in any way, that would be the most special thing I could do. So that's where I thought, well, what I will do is found a charity and start a charity in his name to keep his name alive and to make him part of everything that I do, you know. So that's how it began.
And it must be wonderful when you're a smaller charity like you are to be able to see where the money goes, because so often with these big charities that the money gets eaten up. There's a lot of staff. There are big fancy offices in central London and you never really know how much money is actually going to the cause that you're giving to. Whereas with a charity like yours, you can show people where it's going. You're selecting various different charities to fund the money through, which is just wonderful.
Oh, Hannah, you're so right. That was the whole point. I was at the beginning when I decided to do this, I was approached by several charities, bigger charities, much bigger charities, to be a part, for them to be an umbrella to us and for us to be a part. But I did go into the fact of where the admin, how much admin is taken up within charity works. And in some of the big organizations, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people, hundreds of staff. And it has to be, you know, for them to run in the way they run. But I didn't want that to be. I wanted, almost selfishly, I wanted to be able to collect the funds, earn the money, and be able to put it into someone's hand and to see a life change and to see a smile. That's what I really, really wanted to do. As I say, almost for myself as much as anything else. I thought if we can just do this, I always call us a small charity with a big heart, and we have a flipping big heart, I'll tell you that. Because this charity is run literally almost, well, by me and an assistant who works far away, and we speak all the time, but she only comes once every sort of once a month or once every 2 months. So it really is me who's running this. And I have a fantastic committee, really do, who are above all support, amazing support. We talk about everything and we invest a lot of time to talking about everything with each other and what we can do to better things and how we can get bigger and how we can raise money and what we can do. But the lovely thing, I have got one of our committee is Well, you know, one is Brian Iris, lovely photographer, and one of my closest friends. And another is an eminent oncologist, cancer oncologist, or breast cancer. And he's just lovely. His name is Alan Makepeace. And he always sits on the committee and he says, it's all very well. It's all very well, all these ideas that we have. But at the end of the day, Susie, who is going to implement them? You. And that's what he always says, which is really lovely. But, and I suppose it's right at the end of the day, but somebody has to, you know. Mm. And it's my passion and it's my drive. And I'm just lucky to have people who are in the car with me. And I really, really mean that, because that's what one needs, the support and the go on, keep going attitude that my committee have. And that's the all important thing, because you need that. If I was single-handed admin and I was single-handed running this and I didn't have the committee, it would be a different thing. The committee are there as, you know, they are the sole committee of Lasting Life, and they're there for us to discuss things we can do and how we can get bigger and how we can get better.
So you mentioned smiles and wanting to make people smile and see those different. Can you tell us any stories, any anecdotes of that happening when you've handed money over to people?
Yeah, I can actually, over and over again. But one of the most lovely smiles I got was early on. Hannah's Hospice is a wonderful lady who lost her young daughter. She still has a surviving daughter, but she lost her very, very young daughter, called Hannah. And she set up an organization, quite a small organization that was giving back. It was giving holidays to families who couldn't afford a holiday. And this is a really, really lovely special exercise. And we gave one of our first funds. It's always small. It's never a lot, Hannah. It's a small amount, but it makes a difference. And we gave one of our first fundings to her. And she brought her grown-up daughter and husband here. I invited them to the farm. They came to the farm and we took pictures with the horses. And that was one of the most very special times. A, it was right at the start, but it just made me realize the importance, the incredible meaning of being able to help someone when they need. You know, we all have a problem in life asking when we need. Being needy is not a comfortable place for a lot of people in any way. If you're needy for anything, it just isn't. So being needy for money and to run an exercise that she'd already started, but she needed something to elevate and to get on and to be able to have more holidays and present more holidays. And we were able to do that for her. And that was really exciting for me and for my committee. It was so early on, but it was one of the biggest times for me. And since then, we've made pledges to people quite a few times. And the difficulty always with a small charity like us is when we have an event, as we did in 2024, we had a beautiful event. I created something that's called, it's a storytelling night, really. It's called Lasting Life Love Letters. And our last one was at the Mandarin Oriental in 2024. And it's a black tie evening, a fabulous dinner. We're not sponsored for that dinner, which is the difficult part for us, because it's not a sponsorship. So therefore, we have to have the money going in to be able to sponsor this night. But we did this. What we did was we made sales, because we're that tiny, we have to make sales. And as the sales come in, we can then begin to fund the event. That's the way we worked it. So we funded the event and we did this wonderful night where friends of mine, actors, writers, producers, really beautiful, well-known faces come along on that evening. And during the evening, they get up on stage and read a love letter, read or recite, or even sing in the case of some. I have a beautiful singer-songwriter called Ian Shaw, and he sings, and he sang that evening. And it's a really incredible event. So many friends of mine that just come. Lee Lawson, her lovely husband, fellow actor, got up that night and read a poem that he wrote, and he dedicated it to Simon. It's a really, really emotional evening. We put a box of tissues on all the tables because it means such a lot, you know. Yes. There are funny letters. There are humorous letters. There are age-old letters that have been written through time. A wonderful letter from Richard Burton to Elizabeth Taylor when they were finally breaking up for the last time. I can't remember how many times before, but this particular letter was hysterical because they were sort of writing to one another, and it's a fabulous letter. And Phil Glenister, actor friend of mine, read that with a wonderful, wonderful Welsh Richard Burton accent. And it was, you know, that's the kind of evening it is. It really is. It really is. And Jeff Sewell, who's a fantastic singer, he came and performed opera. Oh, this evening is just sensational. And the only thing is, we did it in 2024. Now we have to raise, we have spent that money. Everything we made has gone out to the individuals that needed us at the end of the year. That's what we did immediately. So now we're back down to rock bottom and we start again. Start again asking, and that's the hard part for me. I'm not very good at asking, but if you know anyone who wants to sponsor our next event, we'd love to find you, whoever you are.
Well, we can definitely refer people to your website so they can have a look and read your story or Simon's story and obviously get involved that way. That would be amazing.
That would be so super. And also, I'm really thrilled to say that my Instagram has just really exploded with the new venture that you've probably seen, which is My Things and Others. It's a fundraising shop online that we had. You don't know about that, Hannah?
No,
you don't. Bless you. I can tell. Well, it was something else that I thought, how could we fundraise in these in-between times? How could we keep it going? So another thing I thought about relating to Simon was I couldn't begin to think how I was going to part with his wardrobe of clothes.
Mm.
And I really had to give that a lot of thought. And a few years ago, I thought, again, what would he want me to do? Well, I know. Maybe that sounds dreadful. That's like light bulb moment. I know. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to sound that way. But I did. I thought, what I could do was I could sell his clothes online, and maybe other people, my friends, all these wonderful actor friends of mine, would maybe contribute with their own clothes, something they didn't want, and we could set up a site. So I immediately thought, what am I going to call it? And I promise you, without word of a lie, I wrote on a piece of paper immediately, mythingsandothers.com. That was it. And mythingsandothers.com became a shop online. And we've had that shop for several years, and it's been beautiful. It sort of ticks over. It doesn't make anything like the funds we would like to make. So what would be now 4 months ago, we decided to revamp the site and go with a much better known site than our own, and that's Shopify. So we've now gone with Shopify, and through them, our site is selling. And this, we launched it on Friday last week. And when I launched it on my Instagram, I told everybody, did a nice little piece about it. It's got a lovely new pictures, and loads of beautiful, beautiful clothes. And we opened up and we've done really a number of sales over the weekend. We really have, which is just fantastic. So we're on our way with My Things and Others.
That's amazing. I love it. So do people still find it, mythingsandothers.com, or do they go via Shopify?
No, they go via, thank you for asking, they go by mythingsandothers.com. And the interesting thing, Hannah, is that because we came off air with the old site for 5 weeks whilst we made this new site, we lost, which none of us realized, none of us thought about, we lost our place on Google, which we'd built up for years. And your face, bless you, darling. Yeah, no, we lost our place. We've gone to the back of the queue, friend, on Google search engines. So we've got to build that all up again.
You've got to get your SEO up and running.
We've got to get all of that going again. And I did a little post the other day, a follow-up post on Instagram. I said, my Instagram, by the way, is the_Susan_George. That's how you get to my Instagram. And I went on Instagram and I said, well, This is a big issue. You can't find my things and others any other way than if you actually put mythingsandothers.com. That's it. That's the only way you can get to the site. Because usually you could just put My Things and Others. You could put Simon McCorkendale. You could put Susan George in. All of it took you to this site, this beautiful, beautiful fashion clothes site. But now it doesn't anymore. Now you've got to punch in exactly what you want to see.
Okay.
Sorry about that long-winded explanation.
No, not at all. Mythingsandothers.com. Unfortunately, though, we are literally out of time and we haven't even talked about either of your wonderful careers, which I really, really want to do. So can we have you back?
Of course you can. Of course you can. I've got a good book too. We've got a book coming out.
Oh, there's so much more to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting. Two books.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. With Brian Harris. And then another to follow. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's chat again really soon because I've got news at the top of the hour and I've got to do
an ad break.
So, please don't be sorry. It's been really lovely chatting and we get to do it twice. So, how good is that?
We do. I look forward to that. I really, really do. God bless and love your listeners, all of them.
Thank you, Susan George. Thank you so much for being with us. And just tell people the website for the charity.
The website for the charity is lastinglife.org.uk.
Lastinglife.org.uk.
Perfect. And the full title of the site is Lasting Life, the Simon McCorkendale Legacy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Susan.